Here's an interesting question for you. Why is it Peter is suddenly so interested in turning this experience on the side of the mountain into a camping trip? You have to know the answer to a question. The passage starts off with three words: after 6 days. Obvious question is what? 6 days after what? What happened 6 days before Jesus took them up that mountain? You have to go back a chapter. You've got that time in the scripture where Jesus asks the apostles, who do people say that I am? And they answer, well, some say Moses, some say Elijah, or one of the prophets. But then he goes, who do you say that I am? Who answers? Peter's the one who answers. He says, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus says to him, he renames him from Simon to Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But then Jesus goes on to say, the Son of Man is going to be arrested by unjust, unholy men and will be put to death. And that's probably where Peter's hearing stopped, because he didn't hear the part, and then on the third day be raised from the dead. Peter got stuck there, and so he tries, you know, well, he just made me the rock he's going to build a church on, so, oh, Jesus, no, you're not going to do that. And Jesus has to go, wake up, get behind me, Satan. And he goes on to tell them, if you wish to be my disciple, you have to do what? Find a nice, safe, quiet space and just sit there quietly and everything will be all right. No, you must take up your cross and follow me. At which Peter's hearing probably totally shut down, because now we've got this mountainside experience after 6 days from that. And he sees, you know, Jesus shining in glory and thinks, this is pretty cool. This is another safe space. Let's just camp out and stay here, right? And so Jesus has to wake him up. Come on, let's go back down the mountain. And it's literally at this point in Matthew's gospel where Jesus turns and starts heading straight towards Jerusalem for this. You know, they don't catch the part of being raised from the dead. They saw Jesus' glory as the divine second person of the Trinity, and that they're being called to follow likewise. They're going to go through some stuff, but at the end is what? Okay, there's hesitation here. Did Jesus stay in the tomb after he was crucified and died? Okay, 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the dead. Peter and the rest of the gang are having trouble getting from that crucifixion part to the rising from the dead part, going from earthly life to the literal ultimate promised land. He needs to hear a couple of different things. Lord, may your mercy rest upon us as we do what? That was a responsorial psalm. As we place our trust in you. And then what were Paul's opening words to Timothy in today's second reading? A bit of a challenge. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel. How? See, we heard the hardship part, and then our hearing shut down at that point, didn't it? Because there was a second piece of it. With the strength that comes from God. We keep forgetting God never asks us to do anything without providing us with the strength to do it. We have an example. Yep. Imagine you're Abram and you're somewhere in your mid to late 70s and God comes to you. He hands you this nice little printed out piece of paper and says, I want you to head for 4527 Temple Boulevard, Jerusalem. Now, here's a GPS for turn-by-turn directions. No. He just says, go, leave your homeland, leave your family, all of your kinfolk, your relations, your family, your friends. Pack up everything you own, your wife, your cattle, your sheep, everything, and go. Where? To a place I will show you. So Abraham said, okay, wait, God, time out. Are there rest stops along the way? Are there some restaurants to pull off and, you know, do a quick drive-through, pick up some lunch or dinner as we go? There's none of that. He just says, go. And what does Abram do? It just simply ends with the phrase, he went. What did he do? He put his trust in God. Without even heard Paul's words, he did it in the strength that comes from God. Paul is addressing that letter to his protege, who's the now bishop of Ephesus, who's facing all kinds of challenging, difficult troubles. Now, this is way back at the beginning of the church's history, somewhere around the mid-50s. I don't mean 1950s, I mean 50s AD, early, when there's all kinds of challenges going on. The Roman Empire is in control. You've got all kinds of pagan neighbors. You've got all this stuff going on. And so I think Timothy might have been facing some hardships. You think? So how does Paul encourage him? Bear your share of hardship for the gospel. How? With, come on, what's the second half of that? I've already said it like three times. With the strength that comes from God. Here's where Peter is stuck. He heard crucifixion. He heard, pick up your cross, bear your cross if you wish to follow me. He's not hearing the part that there's resurrection from the dead, that, you know, the ultimate promised land is what they're being aimed at. How? With the strength that comes from God. We need to hear both pieces of that. Yes, we all have to bear hardships. There will be hardships in life. Some of them are the obvious ones. As we start growing older, there are the physical hardships that come along, illnesses, injuries, financial trials and tribulations, there are all kinds of stuff. But those are the normal human things, but there are more that comes to it, isn't there? Abram has to get up from where he's comfortable, his comfort zone, and go to a new unknown place. He doesn't know where it is yet. How many times does God challenge us to leave a place? And I'm not talking changing geographic location here, but we've got things that we're attached to that we need to go away from, leave behind. And it will not be easy. Sometimes it means we need to separate from some people who are holding us back, or maybe even drawing us away from our faith. We live in a world that has all kinds of corruption loose in it, where we're expected to just go along with whatever people say and do around us and not question it, but even just get involved in it and go with the flow. But bear your share of hardship for the gospel. If our faith, scriptures, and the church's teachings based on them say X is an immoral thing, should we stay with it or separate ourselves from it? I need to get a winch up here. Things that are difficult to even think of. Because if we start pulling away from the immoralities that are happening in the world around us, like there were in the world around Timothy and Paul and Peter and James and John, the world's not going to react positively to it. It will trigger some hardships because people will get upset with us. You're supposed to just affirm and bless anything that's going on and say or do nothing contradictory to it. But then, what happens to our bearing witness to our faith if we just give in and go along? Is there a hardship there? Yes. But again, hear the entire statement God inspired Paul to write to Timothy. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel. Oh my. How? In the strength that comes from God. They had to go through all kinds of hardships. They learned to do so even joyfully, joyfully, because they learned to put their trust in the grace, the strength that comes from God. They encountered his mercy by placing their trust in him and walking in it all the way through. That challenge that they faced back then is the same challenge that we face here and now. Abram had to choose to hear God, to hear him say, go, and pack up and go. Timothy had to hear that challenge, bearing his share of hardships for the gospel and leading people in faith and to faith in the midst of very highly paganized, corrupted, oppressed by the Roman Empire culture, and continue to proclaim that gospel with complete, utter conviction and faith. People throughout the last two millennia keep having to do the same thing, remembering there is a goal, a promised land, the eternal life of God's kingdom, to which we are all called by God, into which we have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, in whom they have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, in whom they are fed and nurtured and strengthened in. Now, talk about the strength that comes from God, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Eucharist. That strength of God is being made readily available. But like Abraham, like Timothy, like Paul, like Peter, James, John, and the entire string of saints from then to today, we have to hear God's voice saying, go. Leave behind anything and everything that will corrupt your heart and mind, that will corrupt your witness, and instead, bearing our share of hardship for the gospel, we place our trust in God and go forth together to God's kingdom.